Sunday, there is not Sunday school classes. We'll pick up the following, the first Sunday in January. So, beautiful day, a little bit of a thick fog, and we pray for safe travels on the way home as well. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you in worship and praise and adoration. Such excitement on this day, this Christmas day, as we celebrate you, Jesus, your birth 2,000 years ago, your sacrifice, Lord, that you humbled yourself. You gave up all the glory of heaven to be born in a physical flesh and blood body and to live among us and to take our place on that cross. And so we thank you. Thank you for the families gathered in, Lord, as we get together to celebrate over meals today and all that this involves. But you certainly are the reason. And a phrase I heard, Lord, the joy of Christmas is not in the presence, but it is in your presence. Your presence, Lord. And we love your manifested presence so very much. Thank you for moving among us here during this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Fred and Ann Schultz will have our Advent reading today.
Merry Christmas. God's desire to be with us is so great, and his love for us is so amazing that he chose to send his only begotten Son into the world. His name is Jesus. Our scripture reading today will be from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 49. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name."
Today, as we light the Christ candle, we know that Jesus is the light of the world. We think of the words found in John 1 through 5, which say, "The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." As we relight the four Advent candles, we know that Jesus is the eternal one, the revealed one, the promised one, the rejected one, and the saving one. And the glorious one of all, he is the God Most High. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the most wonderful gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ, on this Christmas day. Let us be bold to proclaim from the mountaintops, over the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born, that Jesus Christ is coming back soon, and we must all be ready. In his name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Fred and Ann. Our opening hymn will be number 267. We can stand together, please. I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
Oh,
sovereign one. Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Sharing of joys and concerns here, and there she is. We do have a Christmas birthday here, and what would it be without Amanda Stewart with us? Today is actually her 90th birthday, so happy birthday to you, Amanda. Amanda is Diane Herbold's mother, Amanda Stewart, so that's always great. A couple other things I have here. Prayers for Nora Miller. That's Tyler and Jenna's little one. She's how many months?
Four.
Okay. So she's in the hospital again. She was part of last week with RSV and then had to go back in this week. So just be praying for Tyler and Jenna and certainly for Nora. Not easy to have your little baby in the hospital over Christmas by any means. Also, prayers for the family of Gerald Hondel. He passed this last Saturday night, was it? I think, or so, yeah. His funeral will be this Friday at Peace Christian Reformed Church at 10:30 in the morning. Also, Gramco family, Jason Kenigi, which would be Alicia Gramco's brother, passed also last Saturday evening. And I had said at the time, Sunday, we thought it was a massive heart attack. They did. It was actually a brain aneurysm. So prayers for the family. His funeral is also Friday morning at 10:30 in Mitchell. Otherwise, that's what I had written down. So anything else here today? Joys of family visiting, certainly. Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you. How special to have a birthday on Christmas Day. And we thank you for Amanda, who's with us most every Christmas, and today being her 90th birthday, Lord. Thank you for watching over her. You bless her with such health and strength and life, and it's a joy to have her here today. Father, we want to lift up Nora Miller, the little one who's in the hospital right now with whatever it is going on, you know. And we pray for wisdom to the doctors as they work on their end for different treatments. Lord, as we know and we always confess, you are the great physician. And so we pray for your healing touch to work mightily through that little body, through her lungs, Lord, if whatever this infection would be, that would be cleared out of there, that you would give strength to those lungs, that she could breathe on her own as you designed her to be, Lord, and be with the parents, Tyler and Jenna and the family, through this time. We pray for Marlis Hondel and the family. We pray for Alicia and Cody Gramco and Gary and Jane and the family, Lord, with Jason's unexpected passing at 35 years old. But Father, we just lift them up to you and thank you for comforting these families during this time. Thank you for the promises of heaven and eternal life that you give to us through Jesus alone, through Christ alone. Lord, for all that are here, as we celebrate you on this Christmas day, families, we pray for safe travels home when that time comes. For those traveling throughout this week, the rest of this week, there's much of that going across the nation. And we do pray for our nation, Father. Even as this hymn was written in years gone by in a very difficult time, God will not fail. You will not, for you are sovereign over all. And we trust you and we ask you for the outpouring of your Spirit always upon our nation. Be with the troops, Lord, as they serve our nation and other countries around the world. Be with those especially who are not able to be with their families. Guard them and keep them safe, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. For the doxology today, if you haven't noticed, there is a Christmas doxology in your bulletin, and those are the words we will sing when that time comes. Care Center, the Mental Olivet Care Center. Lord, as this was built and founded by the churches in the early 70s to be a place of refuge for those who need it. And so it has been for the last 40 plus years. Lord, we pray that as we give, that it can continue for as much into the future. Thank you for those that call it their home. Thank you for those that work there and volunteer there. Make it a place of peace and joy and all that it should be, Lord. We lift it up to you and thank you that it is a light to our communities here in this part of our region. So bless these gifts, we ask. Multiply them for the work that takes place there in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. The children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. And ushers, I'm sorry, I forgot to read that scripture. I sort of left you hanging, I think, there.
How about you guys go? Good morning. It's good to see you today. Well, what is today? Christmas. Of course it's Christmas. Did that take any of you by surprise that today is Christmas? No? Were you surprised that you woke up and then it was Christmas? No, because we've been waiting, right? We've been waiting for that. But do you know there were some people in the Bible that it was a surprise to? And those people were the shepherds. Do you remember? I'm going to tell you the story here from Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Would you be a little scared if all of a sudden in the sky you looked up and there were angels glorifying God? That would be a little scary, right? But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, who's been born? Jesus, and he's our Savior. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger," right. "Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel." So there was one angel first, and he announces, and then a multitude of angels, and they were praising God. "Glory to God in the highest," they sang, "and on earth peace to those who on whom favor rests." So when the angels had left and gone back to heaven, these shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to," where was Jesus born? "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So what did they do? They hurried and they went to Bethlehem and they found Mary and Joseph, who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word all around about Jesus and about the angels and all that was they experienced. And all who heard it were amazed. Now, isn't that exciting? Just think. God chose shepherds to be the first to know that Jesus was born. See my picture here? You have Mary and Joseph, and then you have baby Jesus, and then you have some shepherds, right? Do those shepherds have gifts? No, I don't see any gifts in their hands. But what are they doing?
Worshiping.
Yeah, they're worshiping him. And one way they're doing it is by, what are they? Are they sitting, standing, or? They're kneeling. They're honoring God. See, shepherds in those days, they didn't have a lot of money, shepherds, but that was their livelihood. They watched them day and night, took care of them to provide for their families. So they didn't have any gifts for Jesus, but they had a great gift, and that was they gave themselves. They kneeled down and they worshiped God. And do you know what, boys and girls? That's the greatest gift we can give Jesus too. It's by worshiping him, praying to him, having him in our lives, not just Sunday, right? Not just Sunday school, but when? Every day. Every day think about him and worship him and tell him how much you love him. Tell God how much you're so glad that he sent his son to die for us. Okay? All right. We have somebody in our church gave these Christmas books last year, and so some of you may have got one last year, but we have Nathan is going to pass you out one for this year, okay? So let's pray. Ready? Father, we love you so much, and we're so excited to celebrate today. Father, give us hearts, help us to have hearts that are honoring to you, that will kneel down and worship you, that will have our quiet time with you in this very, very busy world. Help us to keep our eyes on you. We thank you for the greatest gift that you've given us. Help us to tell others and to do what the shepherds did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your books.
Let's turn to 265, the first Noel. We'll sing all six verses. us once more. Father, that is who Jesus is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And here we've sung the story all the way through. Born is the King of Israel. And you are the King of all the earth, and you are our King and our Savior and our Lord. And we bow our knees before you. With our tongues we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we believe in our hearts, Father, that you have raised him from the dead. We thank you for your word that tells the story of your birth in various ways, in Matthew and Luke and John. And if we thank you as we look through it again today, that you speak to our hearts as to who you are, Jesus. You are the glorious one, and we praise you. Father, I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in the Gospel of John. For those that have been with us all through the season of Advent, yes, this is the passage, these 14 verses we've stayed with all the way through. And today we'll do it again and finish up our point here on Christmas from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. And so we're looking through, and we'll wrap this up today. Who is this child? We sing about, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Who is this child? There's 6 points in these 14 verses. We'll be on that sixth one today. This is like the finale of John's Christmas story. You know, John, the Apostle John, was the oldest and longest living of the 12. He lived well into his years, 80, 90 years of age, it is believed. The others all died young. And so he's writing this gospel by the Spirit of God. But just to review, you have your blanks there. I'm going to go through this first part sort of quick, okay? This is what we've gone over here. The Word, I'll read it out. The Eternal One, that's the first point we looked at. The Eternal One who has always been. He became the Revealed One. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. He was the Eternal One, he became the Revealed One because he was the Promised One. John the Baptist, the greatest of all prophets, came to testify concerning him. I talked about every book of the Old Testament is speaking about Jesus in one way or another. Promises of his coming, of his life, of his death, of his second coming. And though he was the rejected one, as we read, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him, he is also the saving one. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And today, we know him as the Glorious One. And that's the point we'll work through here. The Glorious One, verse 14, John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Incredible that God would become a man. We hear it, we know it, I don't know, but if you ever take time to just think about that, it is incredible that God would do that. That was his plan. The Word became that in the Greek, it's talking about his pre-existence, right? He has always been. He did not have a beginning. He does not have an end. As we know, he's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When it says in the beginning in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that's the beginning of time as we know it, from the beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth. Some people think it says, well, there it says he had a beginning. No. No, he does not have a beginning. We went through that a couple weeks back. It's talking about the beginning of creation. That's why in Genesis, when it comes to the sixth day of creation, God says, let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image, in our likeness. That's the Trinity right there in the beginning. Became. He just took on a flesh and blood body. Excuse me, he didn't cease to be God. He was fully God, fully man. Hypostatic union is the big word for that. We see that his humanity. Think of Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, that's his humanity. Unto us a son is given, that's his deity. Right there in that one verse. Okay, dwelt, for the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That word, it is to pitch a tent or to tabernacle among us. To pitch a tent, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Prior to that, through the Old Testament, we had the tabernacle of God first, which was a temporary tent set up with the holy place and then the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant that was there. And that's where the glory of God dwelt on the earth. And then came Solomon's temple, a beautiful structure. And there was the same parts of it, just bigger and more grand. And the Ark of the Covenant still there. And that's where the glory of God was manifested. But now, the glory of God, the glorious one, Jesus, is walking around in a physical flesh and blood body. And the glory of the Lord and the presence of the Lord had left the Holy of Holies, even though the Pharisees, in their blindness, could not see that. They still thought it was all the same in their time period. But God had left that because they had left him. Okay? So, in this, as we think about this, verse 14, it goes on. It says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, as we go through this, we think, when did we see his glory then? As he lived in that physical flesh and blood body, when did we see his glory? There's six points that I was thinking about this week as I was preparing this, and I want to go through those. Number one, we saw his glory manifest at his birth. At his birth. Anne talked about it with the little ones there. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the what? The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. And so they would be to see that. And so he gives them the instruction, and then there's a multitude of the heavenly host that appears and saying, glory, there it is again, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. the glory. Secondly, at his coronation. Coronation, what's that? That's why the wise men came, one of the reasons. Those guys were astrologers. I've had sermons specifically on that before, but just to touch on it, they were from the East. That's why we sing, we three kings of Orient, of the Orient. We three kings of the Orient are bearing gifts. They travel afar. I don't know if I want to say jobs that they had. It wasn't really a job. One of the things they did was, in their part of the world, the East, they crowned kings. And so isn't it pretty cool that God led them all the way to Bethlehem, a couple thousand miles, with their gifts? If you were here last night, you know we had 7 wise men. We had a lot more shepherds and a lot more angels, too, than usual. But there were more than 3 wise men. The reason we get 3 is because of 3 gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They tell us, historians tell us, they traveled most likely in groups of 30 to 40 at a time as they came. A very impressive group traveling. They were wealthy people, generally coming from the East. So where's the glory there at his coronation? When they come first to Jerusalem, they go to Herod, the king, remember? And they say, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the East and have come to worship him. Now, if you read commentaries, some of them you get, we think that was such and such comet that probably was passing over that part of the world at that time, or it might have been this or that. People, they try to take the supernatural out of it. That star was the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God that led them. It could have been easily a year journey that it took them. When we were over in Israel 5 years ago, and on the end of that trip, we had a 3-day extension trip into the country of Jordan to go down to Petra, from when we crossed over to Jordan, then it was almost a full day's drive down there to Petra, which is in southern Jordan. Petra, if you know, that's one of the Indiana Jones movies. Is it the Temple of Doom? Is that the one? The end of that, they come on that, if that was in your era. That's in that movie. Wow. Yeah, so when we got there, stayed the night in the motel and got up early the next morning, and it was a two-mile walk down through canyon, first mile, and the second mile through a slot canyon. High walls, and that was just amazing in itself, you know. And when you come to the end of that slot canyon, here is this ancient ruin called Petra, carved out of the rocks, this massive castle-like looking structure. Of course, no one's allowed to go in it today anymore, but just to see it. Why am I bringing this up? Because as we were getting down there closer to it, there were signs. Of course, these are peasant nomad people who live down in there, once you get through that slot canyon. And it was sort of funny, all the signs, these just little shacks, reminded me of the reservation almost with the Navajos. But they had signs, drinks here, free Wi-Fi here. You know, I'm thinking, really? There's really free Wi-Fi here. I doubt it. I never tried it. But anyway, but the other sign said, the wise men passed through here. A lot of places we saw that. And very likely they could have and did. So, but that was Petra. Just sort of neat. And we chuckled when we saw those signs, and especially about the wise men. But so the star at his coronation, his crowning, as they crowned him king at his, by the time they got there, he was a year and a half to 2 years old, the wise men. They weren't there that night or the next day. But if we go on in that Matthew chapter 2, they talk about this star again. After they heard the king, and there's conversation, I'm not going into all that, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped. See, this was a supernatural star. Until it stopped over the place where the child was, and when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. That was the glory of God leading them. Third, the glorious one, during his life in ministry, the miracles that he did, incredible. We read about him through the Gospels all the time. That's the glory of God in manifestation. As we talked about him being the revealed one, in him was life. Remember Zoe, and that life was the light of men. Now, can God manifest his glory today like in the cloud as he did in the Old Testament? He can. He can do what he wants to do. It's extremely rare. Some of you that you probably know this story. You've heard me. It's been a while, I think. Others visiting, you probably haven't. But as I think about the glory of God and Jesus being the glorious one, my thoughts go back to this one event, especially when we lived up at Timber Lake. And that little church, it was an old funeral home there. Just the ceiling leaked, you know, and it, not much at all. But one night, it was a week night, probably a Tuesday night. We had Bible school on Tuesday nights that went for 2.5 hours. And this time, we had teaching probably the first half of that. And the second half, we said, tonight we are just going to worship the Lord. I'm talking through music, okay? Praising him. And so we did. That's all we did for through choruses and such for probably the next 45 minutes, I'd say at least. It was a glorious time, really. And everybody entered in. And so after everybody left, there were three of us that were still there visiting, me and the pastor's wife that we worked with and another gentleman. And we were sitting, let's say if this was the front of the sanctuary, we were sitting there. Those two were sitting facing me. I was this way, looking, that's the back of the sanctuary, okay? And we were just talking about the night and how neat it was. And all of a sudden, I'm in that back corner there, and it was probably just about this far away. I thought, which was where there was a coffee pot. I thought, my eyes got big. My first thought was, oh my goodness, the coffee pot is smoldering. It's smoking. We are going to have a fire here pretty soon. And Diana, the pastor's wife, turned around because my eyes, and she looked, and the other guy turned around and looked, and we looked at each other. There was zero smell of smoke, and she said, it's the glory of God. And then we said, zero. What are you going to say? Oh, I get goosebumps just thinking about it right now. And it just filled that part. Why? Not up to us. And that just hung there. It got thicker, just hung there. We just sat there, praying quietly to ourselves, not saying a word, for what? The fear of the Lord in an honor and reverence, respectful way. And I don't remember how long really it was, and then it just lifted. Whoo! Wow, incredible, the glorious one he is. Number four, where else do we see? You probably know this blank because of what's there ahead of it. Where do we see his glory revealed and manifest? On the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. He takes Peter, James, and John up there on that mountain. What does it say? He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. Just then there appeared Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter recognized them. This side note here, I thought it was sort of cool at Louis Fierce's prayer service last Friday night. I know Shirley was there. Pastor Chuck Ashe shared a little that night devotion, and he read this passage, and he said, people always ask me, how do you know in heaven whether, how do you know that when you get to heaven you will know your loved ones? Right here, this passage. There was Moses and Elijah, and Peter knew them. How did he know them? They were on the planet 1,000 years before this ever happened, this event. And I thought, you know, I'd never quite thought of it in that way. But it, so there you go. If you want a scripture of how will we know our loved ones and other people in heaven. Peter knew them. So, of course, Peter, spontaneous as he was, oh, we need to put up 3 shelters here, one for you, Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And all of a sudden, God the Father speaks and said, this is my beloved Son whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And the glory of God comes down, and Peter, James, and John fall flat on their face. By the power of God, his glory. And when it was all done, and they missed everything else that happened. It says, when Jesus came and touched them and said, get up, don't be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. The transfiguration. I tell you, the full manifestation of God's glory will knock anybody flat. What we saw that evening up in that little church in Timber Lake was just a glimpse of it there. Number 5 in the Garden of Gethsemane, John 18, the night of his crucifixion. Before, you know this, you should. The guards come to arrest him. Jesus, the Son of God and all of his greatness and power and in full control, he goes out to confront him. Who is it you're looking for? John 18, who is it you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they say. This was 200, 300, 400 guards, strong Roman soldiers standing there with their torches. And Jesus, and it says Judas the traitor was standing there with him. And Jesus, when he said, I am he. And when he said, I am he, they all laid flat, knocked flat by the glory of God, the glorious one. Yet their hearts were so blinded, they get up and go on with their mission. Even Judas Iscariot, he's the glorious one. 6, at the resurrection, of course. At the resurrection, we see all the glory, the Shekinah glory of God manifested in all of its fullness. There in Matthew 28, it says, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. Was the angel the glorious one? No, but the power and full glory of God had just raised Christ from the dead, and it was just radiating all over that place. And what does it say? The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Whoa. Again, strong, physically strong men knocked flat by the glory of God. And so he is. He's the glorious one, and we celebrate him today. We celebrate his birth. We celebrate his life. We've gone all the way through from birth to resurrection right here in this verse with examples. Isn't that amazing? Wow, we have the best news of all as we share. We were in Sioux Falls quick Monday morning to do some errands, and every place I went with the cashier, I said, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Some said something back, some said Merry Christmas back, some said Happy Holidays. That's fine, it's fine. When we got in the vehicle one time, was it you, Ann, or Rachel? One of the two of them said, boy, you're sure saying Merry Christmas a lot, aren't you? I said, well, I just preached on it the day before to do it, so. Yes, Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we have so much to give thanks to you for. Families, certainly friends, Jesus most of all, our glorious Lord and Savior, for your word, for your light that shines through us, and we pray that it does as we continue to celebrate through this Christmas season now that begins today, the 12 days of Christmas. And so we praise you for your goodness. Thank you for the families gathered in here today. Bless them in their time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you know the season of Christmas is 12 days, starting today, going to January 6th, which is Epiphany Day, which is where we celebrate the coming of the wise men. So that song, The 12 Days of Christmas, that might seem so silly to us, has very much meaning to it about the birth of Christ. Let's stand. I won't do another sermon for you. That was the load and a half back there to the sound crew who asked if I was given the full load today. 270, joy to the world. We thank God for the sound crew and projection. They do a wonderful job, don't they? Yeah, that's it. 270, joy to the world. Benediction. And now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. You may be seated. Thank you, Joanne, for the beautiful music today.